Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour number two, what's happening? Do some hoops here. This will be fun. Unlike the depressing conversation we just had about baseball. Very ominous that they agree on anything anytime soon, but hopefully we wake up one day and they actually regain their senses. But we are inside of our studios. Tiki is at his home. I'm in mine. We've been here since March, and it's the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help out. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We've got Harold Reynolds coming up next hour. So we'll
one of our favorites, man.
Love him. He's the best. Great. He's really good. That's going to be a must-listen-to spot, as was this. We had Mark Cuban on the show yesterday, and Cuban was dishing on everything. I mean, we spent 80% on hoops, but we even got into how
Cowboys,
he,
Dak.
How he views the negotiations with Jerry and Dak's camp. That's not done yet. I asked a little bit on the background for the Porzingis trade with the Knicks when he fleeced the Knicks. We were bouncing around. It was a great spot. So let's just play this for, and if you missed it, radio.com, Apple iTunes, search Tiki and Tierney pops up. Make sure you listen to it. Here's Maverick Soto, Mark Cuban, on his plan that he has proposed to the NBA's Board of Governors, and we don't have an answer yet as to whether or not they will embrace this, but here's what Cuban's pushing. Go ahead, guys.
We play 5 to 7 more regular season games. Then once you do that, you also, once you set the number of games you're going to play, then what I propose is that we take the top 10 seeds in each conference. Once you have those two top 10s from the two conferences, you combine them together, seed 1 through 20, then you have a one-time playoff game like you do in the NCAA at AA.
Wow.
Where 20 plays 17, 19 plays 18. The winners of those play a series against the 15th and 16th seeded teams. And the first two seeds get a bye, and then you play it out.
Okay, and there's even more there. It gets a little, a little small print-ish, if you will, the economics of the game based on the lack of local TV money, which is paramount for the NBA. But at this point, probably not, doesn't matter too much to the fans. So let's focus on the meaty part there. Do you like that? I mean, you heard Mark's plan. It's obviously well thought out, well constructed. What do you think?
Well, I think the reality is we're starving. It doesn't matter what plan they come up with as long as it makes sense because we're starving for
I disagree with that.
But here's the thing.
I think the plan matters.
I think it does. But I'm saying is no matter what the plan is, we're going to watch it. Right? Whether we're going to say it's fair or and say it's nonsense, we're still going to watch it. Right, I mean, how many people watch the match too? I mean,
that's 6.3 million people have peeked at.
Exactly. And so we want to watch anything live. I mean, I'm watching Bundesliga and NASCAR like religiously.
I know you are.
Seriously,
I watched
the damn Truck Series last night, BT.
No, you didn't.
I did. I swear. Chase Elliott won. By the way, Kyle Busch lost the bounty. Remember, he hadn't lost in seven races. He told us in the Truck Series, and so there was a $50,000 bounty put up by his brother Kurt, and then it was matched by the CEO of Gander Mountain for $100,000 bounty to beat Kyle Busch. Yeah. Well, Chase Elliott beat him and won $100,000. Obviously, it's going to a COVID charity.
I was
going to
say charity or his pocket.
Yep, and then they're racing again tonight in a 500-kilometer race.
A lot of races, man.
But you know what? It's interesting because racing is like golf, BT. You know how there's like a pro-am, then another pro-am, celebrity pro-am, then a sponsor
practice
pro-am, practice round,
sure,
and then you smack it around, and then you go, we got an actual a tournament going on here on Thursday. Racing is kind of the same way. There's the Xfinity Series, which is a level down. Then there's the Truck Series. So it's a whole bunch of racing. Anyways, my point is, there's nothing on, so I'm watching racing.
So he's watching it.
So no matter what they come back with, we're going to watch it. Now, will we like it? That's the question. And so the question you ask me is, do I like this? And in a lot of ways, I do, BT. We missed out on the NCAA tournament and that, like, that bracketology thing, which is a large part gambling and gaming, et cetera. We missed out on that in some ways. And so I think if the NBA can, even if it's in fun, bridge it just so they can get games in for revenue purposes, but also provide us with a different level of interest than watching meaningless games, I think it's smart. Right, because if you come back, you bring the season back, regular season, you got, you know, the Golden State Warriors, with all due respect to the, you know, the current small mini dynasty that they had, they're terrible. And Steph's not going to play, Klay's not going to play. I mean, why are we going to watch that? But if you make it, you know, bracketed, it makes it a little bit interesting. Because what if they do knock them off? And who knows what the incentive would be? But what if you do? And so I think it just adds some intrigue. We're going to watch it anyways, but I think it adds some intrigue if you give a little bit more, I don't know, some meat to it. So I do like it.
I mean, I like it too. I like the fact that the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Kings will have a chance to you know, vie for that eighth seed there. I think that that's important. You know, again, it's not – I'm not saying it's a deal killer. Like, if there's no way to do that, and we talked about Damian Lillard yesterday. Damian had some pretty interesting takes. He said, bottom line – you know, I'll show up and, you know, I'll be on the bench, but I'm not playing. Like, if I don't have a semi-viable path to at least earn the final seed in the Western Conference, I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah, it incentivizes them.
Exactly. And you and I didn't have a real problem with that, because just based on, you know, accelerating the body just to get to a place to compete, if you're not competing for something, why take the risk there? So you and I are on the same page with that. You know, Kings fans, they've been dealt some lean times for a long time. So they're probably, you know, somewhat enthused about this. You know, you get a chance, a puncher's chance. Pelicans, I mean, Zion, who knows?
Yep.
You get back and they win five straight if he's in good shape, maybe they could.
I mean, other than Drew, they're mostly really young, right? So,
absolutely.
So the Pelicans should be bouncy right now. Obviously, Lonzo's had a bunch of injuries, so he's probably older than his age is. But they're young. I mean, they could surprise you, the Pelicans. And who was the series? The Lakers? No, the first time they played the Lakers, that was a decent game. The second one, I think the Lakers got the best of them. But
destruction. The second
game. Exactly. But still, you never know. And
I hear you.
That's the intrigue that I think we'll be looking for in the short term when basketball comes back. Show me something that I can watch. I don't want to see foregone conclusions because guys aren't playing, you know, like Damian Lillard.
Now, do me a favor here, because now there's another idea. So that was Mark Cuban's idea.
Yep.
More than an idea. It's his proposal. I mean, he's actually put that out against the Board of Governors. We'll see if it comes to fruition. But what about the World Cup-style group stage format? I could already see here the tone
you know
of his
I like
voice.
This.
Soccer guys getting excited. Try to sell me on this year, because
I'm not
saying I don't like it, but I don't love it
yet.
Tell me why I should.
It doesn't resonate with Americans because we're just not used to this. The only time we see this, BT, is in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, you know, the Women's World Cup, because we don't care about the men. Or, in fact, the last time they didn't even make it. So, like, we see this in the World Cups in seeding. You see it in international soccer a little bit, where you play in group stages. Mm-hmm. And so the only problem with this potential format, and Adam Silver likes it because he loves European soccer and the way that they play and the interest that it draws and the way that they, you know, bring, you know, collections of teams together for an interest to compete. The problem is that the bottom 10 teams won't compete in this specific tournament, this group stage tournament. So what a group stage would look like would be four groups with five teams in each group. Right. And it would be based on seeding. So the number one seed, the Lakers, would be in a group with, say, let's say the Rockets and, you know, two or three lower seeds, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you play.
But real quick, T, how do they determine that? Because that alone,
you know, it might be regional,
unfair.
It could be, but I think it will be like strength of schedule. You're going to have to get like geeky sabermetrics here a little bit.
But why would the Bucks have to play the Lakers that early?
It doesn't matter. And you'll hear it in a second. So essentially, everybody in the group plays everybody else in the group, and that's it. So The number one seed in the group plays the number two seed twice. The number one seed plays the number three seed twice. The number one seed plays the number four seed twice, and vice versa, interacting, right?
Okay.
And it goes for all four groups. The top and you get points for winning.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the top two seeds at the end of the day by points in those groups
advance from that pool.
Advance from that pool into the postseason. So there'd be eight, right? The top two out of four groups, there'd be eight that would go into the playoffs. It would be seeded, and then you'd have a regular seven-game series.
Wait, seeded how? Based on the points accrued in the pool play or based on the regular season?
Probably based on the regular season. So the regular season still means something, right?
Gotcha.
Now, the challenge here, BT, is that once the teams are the challenge that I think this is solving is that there will be a lot of games, right? So it'll be 80 or so games, which is something that you can do relatively quickly because they're playing like back to back to back to back to back, like the big three in a sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If it's all in Disney. Yep. And so you fulfill like this local revenue requirement, this local, you know, product requirement. You get a national interest in audience, a nationally interested audience because it's different, it's unique, and you can experiment. It doesn't matter if it's you know, successful or failure. Mm-hmm. People are going to watch, as we were just alluding to. And so it's just a unique way to do it. And it mirrors, I think, what Adam Silver wanted to do with that midseason tournament. You remember the midseason tournament that we talked about at the beginning of the year?
Which I shot down.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody shot down. But that's why a lot of people think that this could, you know, potentially be proposed, because Adam Silver likes this type of tournament.
Well, then why does he become the commissioner of soccer if he likes it so much?
Because he's the commissioner of Major League of the NBA, and hell, he was. I mean, we know this. He's in MLB. He'd been there forever.
Yeah, oh yeah. He was Stern's right hand man.
Yeah, he was Stern's right hand man. He was in charge of like digital back, or not digital, but like media back when Jordan was playing. That's how the Last Dance got, you know, created. So, I mean, he's been around it forever. But he does look at best practices from other sports.
Yeah, he does. And that's a good thing. That's smart.
And I agree with it.
Yeah,
so
that's smart.
I just don't – I mean, I like it. I just don't know if everybody will love it.
Okay, so what don't you like about it? What's the drawback? Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
The drawback is that there's some teams that just are going to be sluggish, man. They're just like
– But that's going to be a drawback no matter how you construct
this
return.
Okay, but let's just say it's – what if it's the Lakers, BT? What if the Lakers lose to the Pelicans and say – whatever, whoever's in their group,
in their group before.
Right? What if they lose, you know, three, four games that they shouldn't lose? And all of a sudden.
That's too bad. That's too big of a sample. That's tough.
I would agree.
You lose one game, that's not fair. That's an anomaly. Four games,
I would agree.
You don't get the points, go home.
Yeah. Well, it's not four games. It's
I mean, whatever it is.
It'll be six. Eight.
No.
Oh, eight. Because there's
be
five.
Two against
there's
each
five.
Team.
There's five teams.
And I you play. There's four in each group.
Five in each group, four groups.
Gotcha.
Five in
yeah,
each
okay.
group,
that's
four groups.
Gotcha.
So you'd play
gotcha.
Eight games. Yeah,
gotcha.
So you're right. So, I mean
you got
you should be
time.
Able to you should be able to turn it on for eight games.
Yeah, you got enough
to
time
get to
get
the
it
postseason.
Right?
To get to the postseason.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I'm not worried about that. You know, I started this conversation thinking I was going to be bored, not by the conversation, but by the possibilities. Yeah, you know.
Now, we also could just go finish the regular season and then go to regular playoffs, right? Like the traditional route.
Finishing like every game on the schedule?
Yeah,
or
I mean, some people. Remember, who do we talk to a couple weeks ago, BT, where they said, I mean, it doesn't matter if they push the season back and it goes until December and they don't start the regular season until January. They're still going to start. Remember, the follow-up conversation that we had on the show was, well, man, then you start lagging, right? Then you have – like when do you catch up in 2021, and then when do you catch, you know, get some more leverage back in 2022? I mean, how many years are you behind if you don't start next season?
You condense the season.
You save
some games off.
Yeah, it's true.
That's exactly what I said last week when that came up.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what the answer is for the NBA, but the options are pretty intriguing.
It's going to
be pretty wild to see LeBron in an empty arena.
Mm-hmm.
To see Kawhi, you know, to hear these guys calling out screens, I'm sure they'll have, you know, a delay, obviously. But, you know, really taken back to the roots of, you know, most of these guys were obviously involved in AAU.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, AAU was totally different. So guys like Magic, they just, maybe they went to a basketball camp. I don't even know if they had AAU back then when they were playing.
I don't remember AAU. I'm sure it was around when I was coming up, but I don't remember it.
You know, I remember the Gauchos, and I remember hearing certain teams, and there were like two Riverside. Mm-hmm. There were two big-time teams in New York. But then all of a sudden, like, the Long Island Panthers sprouted up, and they're pretty legit. And then, you know, Baltimore, and then all the Philly, all the hotbeds. Its presence is undeniable. But this would be kind of a grassroots return.
Yeah,
they're still making whatever they're making a year, and they still have these incredible profiles with, you know, tens of millions of social media followers. But for whether it's a month or two, it's kind of like they're going back to their high school roots, which is pretty sweet, pretty fun.
I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to watch it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to watch it regardless.
Yep. The reason I asked you, because you started saying that it doesn't really matter what they do because we're going to watch it. The reason I initially challenged you on that, just so you know, is because of what Damian Lillard says. Like, it doesn't matter as much to me. You know, I guess, you know, anybody could be Mr. Negative and or Mrs. Negative or Miss Negative and take whatever the plan becomes, and that first radio show or that first debate show, you know, just rip it apart and minimize it and say they missed the boat and it's a horrendous idea and it's poorly constructed. Dude, I'm going to be so happy that we have basketball back that unless it is really sloppy, and with the NBA it won't be, or inherently unfair to teams that deserve better based on what they've accomplished thus far 80% of the season, I'm going to roll with it. But the part about the players who are, you know, chasing that final seed, you got to give them a chance to get there. You have to.
Agreed. To Damian Lillard's point.
Yeah,
and
because listen, again, I've referenced this. 1999, the shortened season, 50 games. Knicks were the 8th seed. Miami was 1. Knicks won. Knicks didn't went to the finals.
Yeah.
And this is that kind of year where something wacky can occur. Now, the Knicks and the Heat were so close in style. Riley knew the Knicks. You know, Van Gundy knew the Heat like the back of their hands. They were embroiled in this battles anyway. So even if there was a discernible drop-off in talent for one team, familiarity made that series closer, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you'll get that this year, but you still might get a wacky occurrence. So if that happens, you know, hey, if that happens, it happens. And whomever wins, they're going to have to earn this because this is going to be stuffed in a very unique way. We'll see.
Yep.
We shall see. All right, what about games with no fans? What would that actually do to what at times is the mythical home field or home court advantage? Well, we've got a small sample, and the results are pretty surprising. Tiki and I'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. GEICO's introduced the GEICO Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, Harold Reynolds, going to be a can't-miss spot. We've got him coming up next here about the direction of baseball. What's going on with that? So Harold's going to join us at 4:40 Eastern, 1:40 Pacific. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, small sample. Pretty interesting topic, though. So far, it's 22 games in the German soccer league. Mm-hmm. What's it called again? Bundesliga?
Yep.
There you go.
See? You're getting it.
Is it B-U-B? Don't tell me. B-U-N. I just said don't tell me. B-U-N-D-I-S-L-I-G-A.
Yes.
Bundesliga.
I think you might have left out a U, but you're close.
Now I can say it with confidence. Now, exactly. Bundesliga. Okay.
Bundesliga.
Drop that in there. 22 home games so far in that league. And the home team has ripped off, you ready? Oh, they're defending turf. 3 times they've won.
Oh, man.
I don't know how many ties there have been.
Yeah.
Are there even ties in that league?
Yeah.
There are, right?
Yeah, okay. They are. So there's actually a lot of them. It goes into extra time, but sometimes they end in ties. I think there's actually been like 4 or 5 of them.
Okay, so that changes the perception in terms of win-losses. But still, that's a very underwhelming amount. I mean, it basically less than a third there. So I look at it as a couple of reasons, and I don't think it's soccer-specific or baseball-specific. You know, I just think that technology has become so good. You know, one of the major disadvantages to playing on the road in the NFL was the ability to communicate. I'm not saying it's easy now, but it's easier than it's ever been to at least communicate to your players, to your quarterback, who can then transfer that information to his 10 other guys on the field and get a play going, despite 100,000 or 80,000 people going nuts. I have not looked at the home field advantage as a huge thing for a while. Have you?
Yeah, no, I haven't. And if you go, look at the statistics, and there was a study a few weeks ago, maybe it was a couple months ago, because they were anticipating this, what happens to home field advantage, and someone did a study on it, and it's marginal. And usually it's because of lack of travel. You know what I mean? It's like comfort sleeping in your own bed. It's less about the fans in the stadiums, even though perceptually that's what we want to say it's about. In some places, though, BT, honestly, it is. And I've had this conversation with you and others a lot about the Seattle Seahawks and CenturyLink Field and any dome stadium when Indy was really good, that dome was really loud. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Mercedes-Benz Dome is now like that as well, with the Falcons and or the Saints. But when you're on the road and the home team is really good and they're loud, it is disruptive because of exactly what you were alluding to, BT, communication. But in today's sports, communication, it's like in football, it's almost like it's like hand signals. Like teams have gotten so used to playing hurry up and, you know, getting on the ball and playing fast that they can signal everything by hand, right? You don't necessarily need to hear the quarterback saying, all right, we're going to go eye right, you know, power, whatever. You know, you don't necessarily need that anymore. And so communication has gotten easier, which in some ways has sapped a home field advantage. But there is an emotional side to it, I believe, that you miss out without fans. And that's what we're getting to. Does the lack of fans sap a home field advantage? And, you know, think about the chanting, and that would be in soccer, or think about the, you know, specific cheers in certain, you know, baseball stadiums or ballparks or basketball arenas. Like, you miss that in a sense, and it lifts you sometimes when you're down. And we talk about this all the time. The role players in basketball play better at home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And a lot of that is because of that, like the emotional uplift. You're not checked out of a game. When you're on the road and you're just sitting there and like, there's nobody lifting you, you kind of can get checked out.
By the way, it's not happening
at home.
By the way, how great would it be? You're 20, even if you're not playing a second, like you just chilling at the end of the bench. You're like, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, you know, making a couple million dollars, by the way.
Oh, man. That's great. That is good. Imagine that. Guaranteed loot.
Dude, everybody says backup quarterback in the NFL is the greatest job in sports. It's like the ninth man. So you might play, but you might not. So you have a chance to be like a contributor, but it's a good chance you just chill it.
And you might have a multi-year guaranteed deal, whereas with the NFL, it's probably for a year, maybe two, and that second, if you're a backup, and that second year is obviously worth about as much as the lint in my pocket. You know?
Exactly.
I got some numbers for you. Ready?
Go ahead.
In the 90s, this is the NFL. In the 1990s, NFL home teams won about 60% of the time. Last season, it hovered around 52%. Mm. A pretty precipitous drop there based on all the amount of games played during that time. In 2000, home field advantage, this is the article you referenced before, I found it. In 2000, home field advantage was worth about 2.9 points, pardon me. Today, it's around 2.2 points. Mm. Curiously, as I read, home field advantage was actually negative last season. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the article I read. I was it's like a fallacy. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yep. I remember when we referenced that. Yeah. The one thing that I'll say, I'm going to stick to what I know best in terms of, you know, just maybe feeling it. To me, baseball, I've said this a lot. To me, it's almost a disadvantage to be at home in baseball in a one-and-done situation.
Yeah.
If you're playing a wild card game, I don't mean during the regular season, but if you're playing a wild card game, if you're playing Game 7 AL or NLCS or DS before that, or certainly World Series, you know, that pivotal swing game or that final game. To me, last licks is great. Always nice to have a chance to get the final run on the board, blah, blah, blah. Familiarity, oh, yeah, that's great. But when you give up, and it's happened a lot, when your pitcher gives up a crooked run early, and that 0-0, because remember, you're on the mound first if you're at home.
Yeah.
And if you give up a three spot in the first, you know, it gets very quiet. It gets deathly quiet.
It's almost like you're on the road.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And that quietness becomes palpable in the sense that you can't help but try to do too much. And baseball is a sport where if you try to do too much, you're finished.
Yeah.
If you try to throw it, that's why they say, like, gripping a baseball, so, you know, medium, you know, kind of, you don't want to, like, squeeze the life out of it, because the slingshot, the tightness in all the muscles of the arm,
I got you,
limits the velocity, and you certainly don't want to squeeze the sawdust out of the bat, because you can't whip it around. Then whip equals velocity, and velocity equals distance.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, so it's true. So if you get tighter, because it's you're expecting noise to jack you up, and everybody hears you breathing, basically.
Yep.
It gets a little bit more intense, and that's what's going to happen with sports nowadays. Like, in, think about baseball with no fans, and you hear everything, and like a guy is like laboring or whatever it may be, and the pitcher is mad at himself. He's like, God dang it. Like, he's talking, like, you're going to hear it. You're going to feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a batter, you're going to be like, dude, I got this guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's the little things that are going to be, I don't, very noticeable without fans in the stadium. And I don't know who that advantage is. You know, it's going to be an individual thing. It's going to be individual matchups, I think, now get highlighted without fans, because it's really mano a mano. There's no distraction. It's just you against me. Let's see who wins.
I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, outfielders call off infielders. I think that's going to be fascinating. I think that the use of the camera, I mean, every foul ball that's hit, upper deck, down the line, the camera pans and follows the ball, so you can see the fans scurrying for the ball. I mean, you're gonna hear balls rattling off empty chairs. Does the camera pan up top and no one's there? You're probably instructed not to. You probably don't even follow the flight of the foul ball.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't follow it.
I don't think I wouldn't if it's my broadcast.
Because that's gonna look, it's gonna look worse. It's gonna make it look significantly worse.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I agree. All right, we got Axe Update, and we have Harold Reynolds right after that. So what happens with baseball? I mean, he's a broadcaster, and he played. You know he's got thoughts on this. So Harold Reynolds after Axe. Axe is right now. Tonight, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, starting relive Kimbo Slice's final victory and other fantastic finishes. Bellator MMA Recharge, CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on this Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully everybody's hanging on as we navigate this pandemic together. I mean, it's been it's been crazy, man. I mean, 3 months in this room. Tiki's been in his his compound 3 months, you know, juggling the kids. We're doing what you're doing. Teachers, we're teachers, we're parents, we're coaches, we're everything now.
Chefs, mixologists.
Yeah, that's true. We're chefs. The difference is we used to get a little break in between having to do all those roles. Now we get none. All right, Teague, we are joined by Harold Reynolds. I would love this guy. A couple of All-Star games, 3 gold gloves, can run as well. Big time on the 60 stolen bases 1 year. Really good player, terrific analyst, and Harold is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Harold, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, fellas. How are you?
Awesome. All right, listen, we're going to get into the week.
I got to check your school teaching credentials. Are you qualified?
Hey, listen, man.
I am not qualified at all.
No, I'm not.
Hey, it's better than nothing, man. I mean, a curriculum, even if it's a poorly constructed one, is better than no curriculum. You know, structure is not a bad thing, buddy.
This is true.
Let me ask you this.
What you got for me, man? What you got?
All right, listen. We're going to get into the weeds. We'll get into the minutiae. I know about the salary layered and what they're asking the players to do, and it's unfair, and we're probably on the same page with that. But before we start this interview, I need to know, is Harold Reynolds optimistic about there being baseball, or is there a slice of pessimism that has infiltrated your mind and your baseball soul? What are you feeling right now?
No, I'm very optimistic. I always have been. It comes down to one thing. I don't care about the negotiations. That will get taken care of.
Okay.
The question is, are they going to be safe and healthy? If you get that piece taken care of, whether it's figuring out how testing is going to work, how quarantine is going to work, whatever that might be, you get that piece taken care of, then we're going to play.
Yeah.
Simple as that. The players will have, and owners will have no ground. There's 38 million people without a job right now.
Yeah.
And the finances will take care of itself.
But let me ask, and I hope you're right, and you sound positive, which is great.
Can you hear me put a little extra on that one?
Oh, yeah, man. No, that was a play at the plate. You had to crank it around third. You couldn't come loafing around. You had to finish that run. You had to score from first on that double. You had to get on your horse. But
yes,
here's the thing. Here's the thing, Harold. And I don't think that you're wrong, but why do we get the sense, based on the little blurbs, like there's so much more negativity? And forget about the finances, because that's justified. But there's been more baseball players talking about the safety and their fears than basketball players. It seems like the NBA and the NHL players ready to roll. Baseball, it seems to be all over the map.
I agree with you. I haven't been happy about how they've handled this. You know, having been in a union for as many years as I did and been through three strikes, you were very united. They're very distracted and separated. And it's very difficult when everybody has their own social media platform and they have their own opinions and they're putting it out nationally. But I think the NBA handled it fantastic. You know, we watch Chris Paul get out there and say, hey, we all want to play. You know, we're excited about it. We want that opportunity. But what was the unifying message? Well, we just got to be safe. Mm-hmm. That's all you've heard from anybody. And that's really all needs to be. Everything else needs to be negotiated behind closed doors. But I think we're seeing guys have to get back on the same page. I've talked to a number of different players, and you know, it's a little divided right now. I think they'll figure it out and get their act together, but they got to work on that messaging. And right now, it's very difficult to do. I told Tony Clark a long time ago, he's got a more difficult time than Donald Fehr or even Marvin Miller, because they're not going to strike and walk out. It's been 20 some years without with peace, so that's off the table. That threat's not there.
Okay.
And then you have, everybody has a voice. You know, the 25th man's voice is as loud as the number one guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to never be that way when I was back in the union and Reggie Jackson said something, we fell in line.
Mm-hmm.
If Bob Boone said something, you fell in line. You know, until you got to that point where you had a voice, it wasn't going to be heard. And we didn't have a social media platform to go, well, here's what I think.
Yep.
That didn't happen. And so that makes it very difficult when you're trying to unite 1,000 people. It's tough. It's a tough, tough job.
You know, Harold, it's interesting because you're talking about these disunited voices. And I feel like a lot of it is based on emotion. And guys are hearing or getting these proposals and talking about health and safety and their families, and you can't help but get emotional, so you do lash out. Who's more at fault for putting this in the public sphere? Is it the owners who are, I mean, we are assuming they're trying to make the players look bad and or greedy, or is it the players because they're not unified, as you were just talking about? It feels like this is way more public than it should be.
Well, I don't even know if it's a fault, so to speak. I think it's just the society that we live in. You know, everybody has a voice,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. You know, it's okay to have your opinions. It's tough when you're negotiating at this level, and, you know, people do not want to hear it. You hear that all the time. They don't want to hear millionaires and billionaires, you know, talking about money, but that's so very, very true. But I don't know who's at fault. I think it's a natural thing to speak out, and a lot of it's valid. You know, I understand safety and concerns about your family and everything else. I'm not discounting that at all from either side, ownership or from players. But I do think that we have to be a little more understanding to the times that we're in. You know, I would love to see, and I'm not negotiating tables and I'm not a negotiator, but you would hope that we're able to come together for the greater good in a sense. And maybe you come up with a COVID-19 package, and then you deal with the rest of the collective bargaining later. But for now, I really see it differently since I've been out of the game and I've been able to be on kind of both sides of it. I think I got a pretty clear perspective, you know, who went through three strikes and was locked out once. Four of my 12 years were in hardship negotiations.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
And
oh, man, they were ugly, too.
Yeah, they were ugly, man. Yeah. And as I sit here on the other side of it, I just think there's a lot more common ground when you look at things that can happen in real time. You know, I didn't think the 94 strike and the commissioner saying that's it, no World Series, was going to really affect us until Cal Ripken broke the streak. But right now, the country and the world is in a major crisis. And honestly, we play around with this, and you don't play sports, you don't play baseball, and you want to squabble over money, and pretty soon the economy's continually dropping. You're jeopardizing franchises. I don't see the game being the same. We got 30 right now, but who can seriously sit here and continue to write checks and not have any income coming in? You're already laying off employees. Everybody who works at a stadium, they're not working.
Yep.
Somebody working in the front office just got let go. Scouts after this draft are going to start getting let go. And where's the industry go? Pretty soon it's franchises. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to look at the full total picture. So, yeah, you want to fight for your piece in the pie right now, but you're just shrinking your pie as well. Because if there's not 30 teams and there's 20 teams, somebody's not playing.
Yeah.
That's great perspective. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Aaron. My bad.
That's how you got to look at it. That's just how I see it. I'm sorry.
No,
that's just how I see it.
It's awesome. It's real. It's Harold Reynolds. So this leads us into your thoughts on what the A's are doing, talking about franchises. And, you know, it's one thing to furlough employees here, but another thing not to pay minor leaguers what equates to a relatively measly amount in all things considered. I mean, you got to have an issue with what the A's are doing, I would imagine, right?
Well, somebody's got to take care of the minor leaguers, you know, and obviously they don't fall under the Major League Players Union, but I do think they're property of your franchise. And I can't tell anybody how to run the franchises, and I don't know where the A's are at. You know, that's a decision they make, and I'm sure if I sat down and looked at it, I'd understand what they were doing as well. But it's a tough decision regardless. I mean, I talked to friends of mine that are in minor league baseball as operators that didn't have a season this year. Their workers are done. There won't be a minor league season. There's not one in Des Moines. There's not one in Omaha. You know, there's not one in Nashville. So everybody's hurting across the board, and you're trying to figure it out. And I don't really have an answer for that because I really don't know where they stand. But we're in difficult times. I think the full message for me is everybody's got to open their eyes and see where we're at. And see it for reality. We're not in pre-COVID-19 times. This is after and in the middle of it, and we got to figure it out. It's not even post. We're in the middle of it right now, and there's a lot of people hurting.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Harold, I want to get to this huddle real quick because I know it's important, and it's particularly important now, and I have a rising high school senior that this is his life right now because he can't go through the traditional recruiting process. Huddle is a sports analyst software. We all know this, and players can be seen in baseball and football and other sports. Tell us a little bit about your partnership with Huddle. And interestingly, because of what's happening in the world, as you're alluding to, I mean, my son is using Huddle to be recruited. I mean, it's the only way he can be recruited. Can't go to camps, can't go, you know, visit schools. He can't see anybody. Tell us how important this is right now.
Yeah, well, you can go to Huddle's front page, huddle.com, or either Huddle/baseball or Huddle/softball, depending on if you play baseball or softball. And the easiest way to get you there is just go to Huddle's main page, and you can go to whatever sport you have. Mm-hmm. The reason it's important right now is that they didn't have a spring season. You didn't have a summer. You have to be seen by a recruiter, a scout, a coach, whatever it is, whether you're playing travel ball or you're playing high school or college, and somebody's got to see you.
Yeah.
So what this can do, you build your own platform, and coaches, scouts, recruiters can go see your videos right there. And if you don't have existing video, man, go outside now that the weather's starting to break across the country and swing, throw, hit, run, show off your skills and just a little snippet and put it on there and let some coach be able to see it. But it's a platform where coaches go to. And we're trying to start this baseball, softball thing up off the power and strength of football and soccer and basketball that's got 7 million kids on their site.
Yeah.
So coaches are going to that constantly, and it's a great opportunity. The last thing I'll say about this is baseball is so unique in that I don't have to play a game for somebody to recognize my skill and talent. I can go throw a bullpen. Oh, wow, he throws that hard.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I can hit in the backyard. I can run. I can catch. You know, football, I got to line up and see, can I really block somebody? The dummy's not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, Tiki's not going to be able to show a juke and run, and they're going to say, oh, we love him, you know. So that's the uniqueness of baseball. You can actually do this by doing the proper skills, and a coach of any of their elk will be able to know if you can play or not.
So that's Harold Reynolds. Harold, got about a minute and a half left or so. Two-time All-Star, three Gold Gloves. I always leave out one of the most prestigious awards in all the baseball. You won the Clemente Award as well back in 91, which is tremendous.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. We all know what he stood for, of course. All right, so my biggest issue is that the owners are leveraging, in my opinion, Tig and I'd start the show with this, obviously, you know, the goodwill and the bond that the players have with the fans. Mike Trout comes out and says, if he were, or Arenado, who's making 35 mil, or Strasburg, who's making 35 mil. Whoa. I'm getting 20% of a per. What? What are you kidding? If they just say anything negative, they get crushed in the court of public opinion. It's a smart play by the owners, but it's a dirty play. It really is.
Well, I don't think it's any different than any playbook that's ever been out there.
I don't know. During the pandemic, it's a little different. Come on.
Well, maybe a little bit different now. But I still think, you know, it's hard to say. I'm seeing it from both sides. I do not like the comments I've heard from some of the players that I got to get mine in order to play. And I don't know. I'm the youngest of eight kids, and not everybody – got a chance to be a millionaire baseball player like I did. I have extended family, and I really see how people really live. And this is a privileged life that I got a chance to live. And I think sometimes players lose perspective of that, and owners lose perspective of that. And I think the first time ever, I really honestly believe an owner when he says, I'm losing money, and I got to figure something out. I mean, the first time I played 12 years, I came through the minors for three or four, and the message was always they have more money than you think. But I think I'm starting to see there's a lot of folks hurting. You know, we're seeing legendary businesses shut down, done, investments done.
Yep.
You know, so
I got you.
I think there's a little bit more to it than just that. I don't like to have a negotiation over money. Hate it.
Hey, Harold, by the way, buddy, I hate that we're up against it, man. Otherwise, we'll let you keep. We have a hard break. That's the only one we have. We have to hit it. But otherwise, we'll let you go, man. Great stuff, Harold.
Hey, thanks, you. Appreciate it. Talk to you guys.
Yep. Huddle.
See you good, Harold.
Huddle.com/sports/baseball. A little choppy at the end there, but ran out of time. It happens. Third hour coming up. The importance of ownership. Solid ownership. Jeannie Buss told the story, which we'll get to, and we'll also circle back to some of the things that Harold just told us. Third hour coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.